Hey, hey, you're listening to Uncanny Japan, and I'm Teresa Matsura. What comes to mind when I say the word mermaid? Are you imagining a curvy, flaxen-haired, golden-skinned woman with a voice like an angel, an iridescent tail, and a seashell bikini top? Wrong. At least if you are in the seas off the Japanese coast, that is. Here, if you hauled in a fishing net full of fish to find a mermaid mixed in with the bunch, you'd be greeted by a smallish, grotesque-looking creature that may or may not have golden scales, but would more likely have a monkey-looking face and a mouth filled with tiny razor-sharp teeth. Not sexy or cute at all. And don't get me started on what would happen if you decided to slice it up and eat it. Actually, I will get to that in just a minute, but first, mermaids in Japanese are called ningyo, or human fish. And they're all kinds of creepy, and they're all kinds of wonderful. So let's learn more. Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from old Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales. Cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show. Ningyo, human fish. So that's the name you normally hear when someone is talking about mermaids in Japan. But there's another word I just learned. It's called hatsugyo. It's written hair fish, which is pretty gross, but kind of spot on. A hatsugyo is said to be related to a mermaid, and there is an old story of a man catching one in a pond, taking it home, putting it in a big tub full of water with a lid on it, then going to sleep. That night, the god of the pond appeared to him in a dream and said, "What the heck? Why would you steal an innocent pond creature and lock them up?" When the man woke up the next day to check on his new pet, the strange human hairfish, the hatsugyo, was gone. Also, the indigenous Ainu had a type of mermaid, too, and they called it the Ainu Soki, and she had horns. When do you first find writings about Japanese mermaids, or ningyo? Why, the Nihon Shoki, of course. Actually, before that, there was a Chinese text called the Sankaikyo, which I've seen translated as Classics of Mountains and Seas, and is thought to be penned, or brushed, way back in the 4th century BC. And it has mention of a ningyo in there. It states that it was a person fish, and it had the voice of a baby and legs. Anyway, that text did make its way to Japan too, so there might be some influence there. Although I think Japan, being so connected to the sea and surrounded by it, that they didn't need a whole lot of helping to stumble across mer people. But let's talk for a moment about how I just discovered that there is a place near me that has a real live, and by live I mean dead, mermaid mummy. I want to go, but at the moment my prefecture, along with a lot of others, is under a state of emergency, as all the hospitals are full, there are more and more people getting sick, and vaccines still aren't being given to whoever wants them yet. But once I'm able to get there, you can bet I'm going to go and take pictures, and I'll report back here. It all starts about 1,400 years ago, way over in Shiga Prefecture, which is about a three-hour drive from here, when Prince Shotoku was strolling alongside Biwa Lake. He was minding his own business when a mermaid pops out of the water and starts chatting him up. It's saying things about how in its previous life it used to be a fisherman, But as payback for all the lives it took when it was human, it was reborn as a mermaid. Now I understand what horrible things I did, all that killing. So please, I beg you, after I'm dead, keep my ugly body, preferably mummified, and use it as a reminder to others not to go around killing all the time. And after saying those words, the Ningyo up and died. I'm going to stop here for a moment and add that in the Japanese rendition that I'm reading of this legend, it doesn't say if the lives that the mermaid took while in fisherman form were fish lives or people lives. Because if fish lives, then, well, wouldn't every fisherman be given the same karmic punishment? Thousands of fishermen reborn as mermaids? Or was he a particularly good fisherman who killed so many fish lives the gods were like, yeah, hole up? And they had him reborn as a mermaid. Now, if he's talking about people lives, then what the hell, dude? How many people did you kill and why? I mean, you're a fisherman, you're not a samurai or a ninja. That said, I've never heard of a samurai or a ninja being reborn as a mermaid for punishment either. Which begs the question, why have him reborn as a mermaid in the first place? If you want to teach this guy a lesson, wouldn't you banish him to one of the colorful Buddhist hells, where he could boil in cauldrons full of blood for millions of years while getting stabbed repeatedly by oni? If I remember correctly, people are thrown into hell for a lot less than killing someone. So I need answers. But let's get back to the story. So this hideous-looking old mermaid drops dead right then and there. And the prince scoops it up and has a grand memorial service for it. Then he takes it to a temple to grant the poor little creature its last wish. Only, after it is enshrined in the temple, strange things begin to happen. So the monks were like, yeah, maybe this creepy mermaid thing is cursed? And they hand it over to another temple, where more weird things begin happening there too. Time to pass the mermaid mummy on. This continued for quite a while, until the mischievous spirit of the Ningyo was said to finally have calmed down, and it ended up at the foot of Mount Fuji at Tenshokyo, which is actually a jinja or a shrine, not a temple. And there it has remained for more than a century. You know who else resides near the foot of Mount Fuji? Me. Well, not really the foot, but it's only an hour drive away, and that's not far. So it's on my to-visit list as soon as I can. In general, here the history and legends of Ningyo are long, and they have changed over the years. At first it seemed it was good luck to find one. Then later, if you came across one or found one washed up on the beach, it portended bad luck, a storm or some other disaster. You'll remember the Amabie or Amabiko, which also falls into the mermaid category. She came and warned of danger, but also said, hey, put up my image and you'll be spared. So she was a little of both there. Two more quick tales. During the Edo period, so 1603 to 1867, it was said in what is now Toyama Prefecture, there is a record that the townspeople had to use 450 guns to fight off an 11-meter-long ningyo who had horns. Might have been one of those Ainu ones. Another poor mer person was killed by a man in southern Fukui Prefecture while it lounged on a rock. After that, the sea began to rumble and large earthquakes started to happen. But you know what I really like about Japanese mermaids? There's proof that they're real. Well, kind of. Have you ever heard or seen a Fiji mermaid? It's the little mummified thing with the tail and the teeth, and it's kind of what I expect to find when I go to that shrine later. P.T. Barnum had one for a while. It originally came from a sea captain named Samuel Barrett Edis, who purchased it for $6,000 in 1822 from Japanese sailors. It was thought to have been caught near the island of Fiji, hence the name. Captain Edis took this mummified creature to London, where it was shown in 1822, and maybe longer. Eventually, Captain Edis's son ended up selling it to the Boston Museum in 1842, and from there it went to New York City, where P.T. Barnum rented it for $12.50 a week to put on display in his freak show. Here, in P.T. Barnum's words, "It is an ugly, dried-up, black-looking, diminutive specimen about 3 feet long. Its mouth was open, its tail turned over, and its arms thrown up, giving the appearance of having died in great agony. Now, while the original, which I read had disappeared, and was thought to have burned up in one of the many fires that ravaged Barnum's collections, but then somewhere else I read that it didn't and it just moved on. Either way, it wasn't the only one. Others appeared. And for $6,000 a pop, I can see why. And not all these ningyo were sold to foreign sailors either. Some were shown and gawked at around Japan itself. There is something in old Japan called a misemono, which I'm going to talk about in the near future. But just think for now of a Japanese carnival or a freak show. It was here that these creatures were a big, creepy hit. I also learned that in Japan, as far as mummified mermaids go, there are two types. The first is sometimes called the screaming type. They stand upright, balanced on the curve of their tails, and they have their hands on the sides of their face like monks scream pose. And they always have these really terrifying expressions. After them, a new type was found, and they were categorized as the crawling type. These ningyo are on their sides, holding themselves up with their arms, nice curvy tail behind. Their ribs and their vertebrae are always quite prominent. These also usually have big round holes where their eyes should be. This is because they were originally displayed with glass eyes that have been lost over the years. Although there is one man, the artist James Insor, who is supposed to have one that still has eyes. Glass eyes. Anyway, these crawling-type ningyo are also called Japanese monkey fish. Because, well, as you can guess, they were sometimes made by fusing together the tail of a carp with the torso of a monkey. But at least once when they were inspected by various scientists and experts in the field, it was found that the teeth weren't that of a simian. Monkeys have incisors on the top and the bottom. This thing didn't. So could it be a real mermaid? They thought. But then someone figured out that it was most likely the teeth of a race fish, which is a big old ocean fish with big old teeth. Here's another hilarious and probably my favorite story. So these relatively modern-day scientists have these mummified remains, and they're all cocky. They're like, let's get out the x-ray and see what this thing really is. So they do. And yes, they find that there is wire and wood and clay all used inside to hold them together and stuff, right? But what the mermaid makers also did was coil up a bunch of cord inside the skull, which, when you look at it in an x-ray, looks just like a brain. So they nearly had a heart attack when they x-rayed and saw that until they figured out what it really was. Before I let you go, today I'll end with a mention of the most famous ningyo story in Japan. You may have heard of it. It's called Yao Bikuni. The legend goes that a fisherman once caught a very strange fish. He'd never seen anything like it. So he took it home and he invited over all his friends and family to try it. Everyone waited while he was preparing the meal. One guest, however, was eager to see what this strange fish looked like, and he peeked into the kitchen. And holy crap, it had a human face. So he runs over to the others and he whispers what he had seen and he tells them, whatever you do, don't eat it. And they all nodded and said, yeah, they got it. The fisherman then brought out the fish all cut up on a big platter, and everyone feigned joy. They plucked up pieces with their chopsticks and they pretended to eat it, while deftly hiding the horrid flesh to dispose of later. Well, there was this one drunk at the party, as there always is, and he did manage this task of hiding it away. But on returning home, he was greeted by his young daughter, who was like, "Oto-chan, where's my souvenir? What did you bring me?" And all he wanted to do was pass out on the futon, so he reaches into his long sleeve and he pulls out this chunk of mermaid flesh and he gives it to her. She immediately pops it into her mouth and begins to chew. "Delicious," she says. The old drunk was like, "Oh, crap," and he tried to make her stop, but it was too late. She had already swallowed it. So he keeps an eye on her for a couple days, thinking that she'd probably been poisoned, but nothing happened. She grew up and she became a nice lady and she got married. That's when things changed. She stopped aging. Her husband got old, sick, and died, but she stayed young. Then she married again and the same thing happened. So this went on a couple times for a couple husbands, and then finally she was like, "Yeah, screw this, I'll become a nun," which she did, living the rest of her life wandering through various countries until she finally returned home at 800 years old. And there she died. So the moral of the story is that if someone presents you with a human-faced anything to feast on, you should eat it? I'm not sure. So thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. And I will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Bye-bye. You've just reached the end of another episode of Uncanny Japan. Perhaps you'd like more. A monthly folktale translated and retold by me. The occasional binaurally mic'd soundscape like the ones you hear on this show. Or recipes, behind-the-curtain episodes, homemade postcards, and more. If you're interested in that or supporting the show in any way, please search for Uncanny Japan and Patreon. We've got a wonderful group over there. Thank you again for listening, supporting, reviewing, and telling your friends about the show. My name is Teresa Matsura, and I will talk to you again soon.